The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Afternoon, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines I call USA Inc. Today's day is June 10th, 2016. It is the last work day of the week, you know, for those that work on a 5-day work schedule. And I don't know too many people, you know, that are not working more than that out of necessity, but today is Friday, headed into the weekend, one of the most dangerous times in this country because of alcohol, drug use, people coming together at bars and other places where they come into contact with other human beings, get into disagreements, and those lead to disturbances, and, you know, people end up getting killed. And, you know, it's easy for me to sit up there and say, you know, or suggest to people that you shouldn't go out or stay away from large crowds and groups of people, especially when alcohol's involved. Because obvious, you know, well, it's not obvious, but as a young man, I did all those things, and I had to learn through experience and what have you. But, you know, people have to make their own decision. And if you make that decision to go out there, then make sure that you are less inebriated than everyone else and that you got your head on a swivel and, you know, you just are practicing defensive living. So just trying to keep it real. We have a two guests planned today, so going to have a program that is packed full of information that we will be sharing. Our first guest will be Dr. G. Kwame Scruggs. He will be joining us to talk about the topic of mentoring our young black men and boys. He's the founder and executive director of Alchemy, Inc. So we want to talk to Dr. Scruggs about his great work. He has over 20 years experience using myth in the development of urban male youth. Okay, so I mean, that's interesting. You know, let's see, how are you using myth? What do you mean, African folklore? Or I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. So then during the second hour, we'll be speaking with black woman, entrepreneur, and a blogger, Jamila Horton. And she had raised some issues on Facebook. I follow her on Facebook. And she also is a blogger, as I stated. Her blog can be found at, it's called On the Battlefield blog, but you can find it at onthebattlefield.com. But she made a post questioning the comments made by the recently crowned Miss USA, Deshauna Barber, who is out of Washington, D.C. She was representing Washington, D.C. in the Miss USA pageant, which is actually owned by Donald Trump. I knew he owned one of them. I just wasn't sure which. But see, she's also an officer in the United States military. And so Ms. Horton took issue with these comments that was uttered by Deshauna Barber. This is what she said. She was asked a question about the Pentagon decision to allow women to serve in combat. She said, as a woman in the United States Army, I think it was an amazing job by our government to allow women to integrate into every branch of the military. We are just as tough as men, she said, to a lot of cheers from the crowd. As a commander of my unit, I am powerful, I am dedicated, and it is important that we recognize that gender does not limit us in the United States Army. So Ms. Horton took issue with that. I also have some issues with what she said. And, you know, I put a question out on my Facebook page, and we'll revisit that question when our segment with Ms. Horton begins about 30 minutes after the hour. So got a lot to talk about today. Now, getting back to our interview with coming up with Dr. Scruggs. Again, he is the founder and the executive director of Alchemy, Inc. And you can find them on the web at Alchemy, I-N-C, alchemyinc.net. Please visit it, bookmark it, find out more about it, find out how you can support it financially or through other means. All right. But they are also the subject of this documentary film titled Finding the Gold Within. And that film will be showing tomorrow in New York City at the SVA Theater. So we're going to play the trailer from that as we do have Mr. Scruggs. He'll be joining us about 10 after. So that gives us time to listen to the trailer of this film that is, again, showing June 11th. That's tomorrow, Saturday. I know we got some New York listeners, got some partners up there, media partners as well, as we are sponsoring the upcoming Hip Hop Film Festival 2016, and that'll be going down in August. Our media partner, Revolution Media, run by CR Capers, also the host and producer, one of the hosts and the producer of Why You Mad Son Radio. So definitely we got some folks up there in New York. So tomorrow you can still get your tickets. We have provided a link for you to purchase your tickets online if you would like to attend. So let's go ahead and listen to the trailer, Finding the Gold Within.
I had my uncle. I mean, that's kind of my biggest male influence. He sell drugs. Everything he do is wrong. I got the aspect that I can't do shit. I'm going to be a statistic.
Hey, thanks for sharing that. He who conceals his disease cannot expect to be cured.
What we attempt to do is recreate the temple of Asclepius. Instead of chanting, we drum. Instead of healing through dreams, we heal through the myths.
That journey to another place. Long, long ago.
I never been able to just be a normal kid growing up. And hearing the white snake myth, I felt like that was me.
You're coming out of your comfort zone, completely new person.
And all of a sudden, the bottom fell out, and they fell into a hole.
Either he had a death wish or he was running an experiment on how fast a black man would turn his car around when angry.
I threatened a kid. I just took it real far a couple times. There's times where I wouldn't say anything.
If you meet any college athlete, ask him just out the blue, if football stopped, what would you do? This ain't right. This ain't, oh no, hold on man, I got some stuff to say, dog.
They talk about the black male code and that's still real. My hat's down, I've turned it backwards so they see my face.
Other people's low expectations gives me something to push against. It makes me try harder.
You have been prepared to face this monster that you're running into now. I hope you don't think you wasn't supposed to face it.
Alchemy really exposes to the young men in the group our worth, our value in society. We were working with the seventh grader boys the other day and seeing them identify some of the things in the myth. It's just something that so many people don't have.
These myths, I can see it in myself. They're embedded in my thinking.
How can we show people that we are the heroes?
right. So that's the trailer for the film that'll be showing on June 11th. That's tomorrow in New York, New York, at the SVA Theater. For those that's listening through BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, our promo for today, you will be able to find it there. Okay, we are being joined by our guest.
Yes,
on our Skype studio line. Yes, Dr. Scruggs, we have you, sir.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, brother. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. We just got through listening to the trailer for the film, which I was telling the listeners is going to be shown or screened tomorrow at the SVA Theater in New York, New York. So,
correct.
Yeah, man. Let me first just express my gratitude for you and all those who have dedicated their lives to helping our community by uplifting our young men. And we don't have enough of these programs, you know. And so it's great to see, you know, a program like yours in action.
Believe me, brother, I appreciate the thanks more than you know. Okay.
All right. All right. Now, I have some interesting. Well, I'm intrigued by your background and how you have incorporated. You know, you got a master's in mythological studies. What is mythological studies? And you have incorporated that into Alchemy Inc.
Okay, I hold a master's and a PhD in mythological studies with an emphasis in depth psychology. Now, depth psychology is a study of the unconscious. So the unconscious is basically our soul. So basically you're studying something invisible. So how do you study something invisible? You study it in a way that it makes yourself visible. So the soul makes itself visible through art, religion, dreams, literature, mythology. Symbols, because basically we all share what Carl Jung called a collective unconscious. So basically all our work is done through mythological stories and fairy tales. So the myths, mythological studies basically is a study of myths. Okay, so a study of myths, but also here again, the emphasis is more so the unconscious, but myths was more so my emphasis, I guess you would say. So what we do, these myths have been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And basically, when you look at a myth, be it from Asia, China, Japan, Africa, Europe, they all basically say the same thing, because our souls, you know, pretty much go through the same thing, but just in different ways. So what I found, I used to work with urban males at the University of Akron, through Upper Bound, pulling teeth, getting the talk. And whenever you tell somebody, you know, you or adults, they're doing something quote-unquote wrong, it's just natural for them to become defensive. But what I found is that through a myth, when you tell somebody a story or a myth, it removes them from the situation and it allows you to look at the situation objectively. So that's why I use myths. There was a book I read a long time ago, Men in the Water Life, by Michael Mead, and he told different myths and gave an interpretation, and it just helped me to understand so much about my life. And then that's when I started using it with urban males primarily.
Okay. And how long has Alchemy Inc. been in existence, and what gave you the vision to found it?
We started Alchemy in 2004, but I've been using myth with youth and adults for like 20 years. But basically what had happened, I was just fortunate. I was in this one middle school in Akron, Ohio that happened to get like a $5 million grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation. And at the time, I was running like five groups in the school, three with males and two with females. And then I went and got, you know, when I saw they got that money, I went on and started my nonprofit. So that's when I started Alchemy in 2004. The youth you see in the film, it's really like 28 of them in that first core group. Half of them started in 2004 at that school as sixth graders. Another half started as ninth graders in another school. So I just happened to be in the right place at the right time, brother. Mm-hmm. And just things just worked out, man. It's not like I had a grand plan for any of this. It's just like the ancestors just, like, you know, just said make it happen. So I got so many people to thank, brother. So it wasn't here again, man. It wasn't like I had a grand plan. I just put it together and things just happened.
It's like people say, sometimes things just fall in place.
Yes.
Or, you know, the stars align, as they say.
Yes.
Yeah. So I totally feel you on that. And as you mentioned, you are based in Akron, Ohio. And I was thinking about Akron today because I listen to sports talk radio and whatnot. And I had went to the store, so I had the radio on. I'm coming back, and they're talking about LeBron James, right? And what is his legacy, right? Talking about his legacy. And so, you know, they, for a long time, they've been demonizing, you know, LeBron James because it's entertainment. Somebody's got to be the good guy. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to be the bad guy. And it's just crazy that the media, these sports talk radio hosts, are asking the question when y'all know y'all the ones who frame it that way to begin with. And so then, you know, they had Cornbread Maxwell on, who's from this local area. He went to college at UNCC, and he played with the Celtics, was a finals MVP, so he was on the show, and he talked about all the good things that LeBron had done off the court, and then he said, you look at Michael Jordan's legacy off the court, which Michael Jordan is where I'm from in North Carolina, you know, and he's the owner of the Charlotte Hornets now, and when I think of Michael Jordan, what I think about is when he was asked to endorse Harvey Gantt, the former black mayor of Charlotte, running against a known racist, Jesse Helm, for that Senate seat. Michael Jordan was asked about it, and he said that Republicans buy shoes, too. Okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
I also know that he, you know, that he allowed his mother's nonprofit, which was based in Charlotte, to financially fail. It just went defunct. So when I think about these athletes' legacies and whatnot, I was thinking, well, I also heard that LeBron James also is putting a lot of, giving a lot of youth in Akron and other areas in Ohio a pathway to college. You're in that area. What can you tell me?
Yes. LeBron has a program through the LeBron James Foundation. So I think they start with the students in fourth grade and they keep them through high school. So he has that. So he has a number of youth, you know, in that program. Matter of fact, we got a couple of the boys in our program in there that'll be, you know, coming there with the LeBron James Foundation T-shirts and sweatshirts. So he has that foundation, but he also gave, I think it was $41 million to the University of Akron for students who, if they complete the program, you know, Braves through high school, that they have assistance to go to college. So LeBron, man, he got nothing but a good name here in Akron. So like all the community centers, matter of fact, we hold where we hold our workshops on Saturday. You know, and the gym has the LeBron James logo on center because he redid all the community centers, the basketball court. So we got nothing but love for LeBron here in Akron. I mean, he represents, man. I mean, if you ever see him on, you know, with his shirt off, he got the big Akron, you know, right across his chest. And so whenever you hear 330, that's the area code. So LeBron, man, love that brother here in Akron. Nothing but love for LeBron in Akron.
And I kind of suspected. I didn't know. I wasn't really going to ask you any questions about, you know, how did you get started with the funding and all that. But, you know, you shared that information. I was just wondering, you know, as I was listening to them kind of bad mouth LeBron, some of the callers and whatnot, I was like, I wonder if LeBron ever touched this organization, Alchemy Inc. And as you just stated, y'all use facilities that he supported and whatnot.
Yeah. Like one of my best buddies, man, which I should be saying this. Matter of fact, just left one of my best buddies who works with LeBron, works closely with LeBron. He's here in New York to see the film. LeBron, man, you know, no matter what you do, it's never going to be enough. All right. Mm-hmm. But LeBron, no, man, he definitely represents Akron. He's given a lot back to Akron. Matter of fact, I was out to dinner one day when he had just came back to Cleveland. And I was with my buddy, and one of LeBron's managers came in. And, you know, we were sitting down, we were having dinner. And I was just telling him how impressed I was with LeBron. And he had the commercials come out. And it was all about Akron. You know, coming back and him just representing his hometown. So now, man, LeBron is steadily doing something.
Great.
The brother carries himself extremely well, especially for, you know, the area he grew up in.
All right. And that's a good segue into the program you have, Alchemy Inc., because, you know, as I was looking at the trailer of Finding the Gold Within, you know, in a film, is, correct me if I'm wrong, but it it follows these young men over a period of time?
For 3.5 years, we had a filmmaker, Karina Epperline. She followed them for 3.5 years. What happened was I met Karina probably about 6 years ago out in San Francisco at a gathering. And I knew she's a filmmaker, but she wasn't thinking about doing a documentary, and I talked to her about doing a documentary. And happened to be on my email list, and I sent her a picture of our youth when they were in sixth grade and a picture when they were 11th and 12th. And she just said, "Wow, Fahmy, you have a story there." And she asked, "Would I be interested in a documentary?" So really, you know, she's just going to have to be a short film, you mm-hmm. know. 20-30 minutes and end up being 90 minutes. So yeah, she followed them for 3.5 years. So matter
through
of fact,
college, right?
Of them are here in New York right now, and her, they're here too.
And it says, I'm reading it now, that of course these are young men that Alchemy Inc. Has mentored since sixth grade, and the film follows them through their first 3 years of college. And in watching the trailer, you know, I appreciate just how raw it was, you know.
Brother, that ain't nothing.
Yeah, just from the trailer, I can imagine. So yeah. Just from the trailer, you could tell that these young men are real young men. They keeping it real, and just you know, the openness of willing to you know, open up and share, feel like they in a safe place that they could share with people who mm-hmm. actually care about them. One of them talked about the challenges being faced with being called a nigger on campus, and how that angered him. And you know, I haven't seen the film, so what would you advise? Because you know, we've been seeing Black Lives Matter spring up on college campuses, standing up against racism and what have you. So how did y'all advise that young man to handle situations like that?
Thanks for asking. Hey, before I forget, we saw in the film too, Painted Bride in Philadelphia, June 16th. But basically what had happened, man, that was one of the workshops, one of the college workshops. And so when they got back from college, we went from being able to see these brothers once a week to once a month, to then only twice a year once you're in college, like a summer break and then winter break. So I had no idea that these brothers were dealing with the whole race piece. I had no idea. And so then that was the first workshop that I was hearing the stories. And so basically what I was telling the brothers, that to remember what they were in school for. They were in school to get a degree, okay? And so to really try to put all that other stuff into perspective, okay? And then also we use a lot of quotes. And one thing I told them, that you can have a person of your color who is not of your kind, and someone of your kind who is not of your color. So you always want to look at what's the intent of, you know, the individual. So to me, you know, just try to push that aside and just remember what you in school for, and you in school to get a degree. So you're always going to have ignorant type people, you know, so try to ignore. So long story short, that's basically what I was trying to get them to do, just to remain focused, man. So,
College sports was also brought up in the film, and one of the young people, or it might have been one of the counselors, who was saying, you know, you talk to these football players and you ask them, well, if football was the end, what would you do and what have you. And so I want to contrast that, and I just read this story, it kind of went viral, about this man who just made it on an NFL squad, on a professional squad, and they were saying how he slept in a shed, you know, while in college. And they were like treating this like, you know, this was a good story. This a feel good story. This kid was sleeping in the shed while he was in college and playing football, and he made it to the NFL. And all I could think about is the exploitation. Here these universities are making billions of dollars annually off of these kids, and they are kids, young men and women, making billions off of them, and then we hear stories like this, and the whole media treating it like, oh, this is a rags to riches story. Well, he shouldn't even had to sleep in the shed in the first place, being that he was so I mean, what are your thoughts on that piece, and how is it addressed in the film, the whole piece about the professional sports?
So that was Chevin, and Chevin had a full ride. Chevin had a full ride to this one university. I don't want to say the name.
Okay.
Uh, Seven and Marlon both, the other brother in the film who teared up. Who
Full ride, up going, you mean sports scholarship?
Yeah. Both of those brothers had college scholarships. And then Akron's a big sports town, and we just happened to have some pretty cool brothers in Alchemy. Matter of fact, Bookto High School that year, in their senior year, they were number one in the state in basketball. We had six boys on the team from Alchemy. Four of them started. All six played, and then on the football squad, they played for the state championship, which they should have won. They lost by, I think, 2 points or something like that, came down to the last play. But quarterback was from Alchemy, running back from Alchemy, the linebackers, the DBs, man. So we had about eight boys on the team from that. So and then we had a boy who was All-American wrestling in the full ride to Oklahoma. Then we had a boy, a long jump. We had a boy who won this track 100-meter, 2 meter for 2 years in a row. But anyway, that was Seven who was talking about everything that was happening. And so, you know, if, I don't know if you saw, I tried to cut him off because we had funders in the audience and we had some other folks. And I'm just like, wow. He's like, no, dog, I got something to say. So, you know, we let him vent. And because, see, the thing is, we had, like, again, we got a lot of sports stars, man. So he was just trying to let them know that, like he said, the D1 ain't all it's cracked up to be, you know. So here again, you know, just want them fellas, man, to stay focused. And but, I mean, if athletics is going to get you that degree, then, hey, you know, you use it to get that degree. So Seven will be graduating here within the next couple months. He ended up transferring schools, ended up going to Tuskegee. So he's at Tuskegee.
Okay. Now, what kind of impact, and obviously, you know, some of the things you've been sharing shows the impact on the community, but, you know, the focus is on these young men, but how does it impact their families by their participation in Alchemy?
Appreciate that, man. Appreciate the question. They're allowed to see the growth. You know, they're allowed to see the development of their children. And I say this in all humility, but when you sit around with youth who've been in our program, because, you know, they've been in there since sixth grade and ninth grade, so they've been in the program for 4 to 7 years. And when you sit around with a group of our youth who've been in the program for a while, you can definitely tell the difference by their line of thinking and their ability to think critically. The one thing that was so cool with the film and wow, just with the Q&A, is it just showed me their ability to think mythically, write mythically, speak mythically, and live mythically. Because the thing is trying to get them to become the hero within their own stories through the myths, okay? So, like, when you look at the hero, generally speaking, comes from a rough background, you know, got to overcome obstacles, make sacrifices, persevere. So that's what we try to get them to do, is to take the character traits of the hero, man, and implement those traits into their lives, but all through mythological stories and fairy tales.
Yeah, so let me rephrase the question, because the brother was talking about, one of the young men was talking about his role model was his uncle, who said, do nothing but sell crack and what have you. And so I'm wondering, you know, and it may not be the case with that individual young man, but they may be coming out of negative situations at home and then come there and then go back home and have a positive influence on their families there.
So the question in that way. Man, you know, that's going to be individual situations.
I understand.
That's going to be individual situations. But basically, you know, one of the quotes we use is that water picks up the sediments of the channel, which it travels. Okay, so basically, when you're around different people, you know, you're going to pick up those sort of things they're doing. So I think eventually the things that we talk about, you know, gets carried over, like when they go home, you know, and then they'll see certain things might change little by little, because you always got the parents wanting to know, you know, just the younger sons or whatever can get in the program. So
so
you see changes
see
changes little by little. So the brother who was talking about his uncle, man, I mean, CJ, he comes from an extremely rough background, and just, yeah, man, extremely rough, man.
All right. Well, Dr. Scruggs, thank you again for the work that you do and your staff and everybody who has supported you. And these young men are definitely on their path to heroship, you know.
Yeah, thank you.
And so is there anything you would like to leave the listeners with as we close out this segment with you? And again, just want to remind that the film will be screening June 11th. That's tomorrow at SVA Theater in New York, New York. And that includes a question and answer with filmmakers. And so what did you mention about Philadelphia?
We're showing a film in Philadelphia, Painted Bride, on June 16th.
Well, we got a network program that's based out of Philadelphia called Time for Awakening. I'm gonna definitely send them your contact information, and maybe you can appear on their program, because most of their listener base is in Philadelphia.
Okay, and yeah, we'll work some out for tickets. Yeah, so I can hook you somebody to, get, discount tickets or free tickets. So.
All right. Well, okay. What would you leave the listeners with?
What's that?
Can you leave our listeners with a final thought?
A final thought.
About the importance, let me put it this way, a final thought on the importance of mentoring our youth.
Okay, and that's basically what I was going to say, is just don't give up hope. Just don't give up hope on, and just make sacrifices for the youth, and just try not to be so quick to judge them, okay? Because you got to understand their story. You got to understand where they're coming from. So just listen and assist in any way you can. I mean, it could be something small. It could be something like giving a smile, them opening the door, okay? So just cut the brothers and the sisters a little slack. Try to be a little more understanding.
Again, thank you, Dr. Scruggs, man, and I definitely want to stay in touch with you and bring you back, because you have a solution to a problem that many people need to keep hearing about. So thank you, sir, and you have a blessed day.
Hey, Scotty, thanks, man. Stop calling me doctor, man. Just call me Kwame, all right? Thanks,
all right, Scotty. Kwame. All right. You have a good day, brother.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, that was Brother Kwame Scruggs, who is the founder and executive director of Alchemy, Inc., which is based in Akron, Ohio. Coming up, she should be joining us shortly, will be a black entrepreneur, blogger, Jamila Horton, who raised some issues with the militarism that was being expressed by the newly crowned Miss USA, Deshaunna Barber, who, of course, was who I stated earlier was representing Washington, D.C. in the Miss USA pageant. And so I kind of feel where she's coming from. And I have some questions of my own, obviously, on Tando Radio. Show Brother Dave has raised this issue about them drafting our daughters, being able to draft them, because that's what that combat means. Now they're going to be required to register for the draft. And if you don't think the draft is ever coming back, then why are they making people sign up for it? All right, I got a whole lot of thoughts on that, but I'm definitely looking to hear from Miss Jamila Horton, who is a black woman, and Miss Deshaunna Barber is a black woman who was recently crowned Miss USA. And I kind of think that novelty has worn off in terms of these pageants and whatnot. There's no more first black this and that, so that novelty is kind of worn off. But her comments are generating a lot of press. All right, so you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. Going to take a station identification break, and on the other side, we hope to be joined by our guest, Ms. Horton.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. All right, all right. Well, I've just been chatting with Miss Horton. Here she is. She's joining us now. I believe she was listening on the conference line. Is that you, Miss Horton?
Yes, it's me.
Thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome, Scotty. How are you?
I'm not going to complain too much, you know. I got complaints, but I'm not going to lodge them complaints with you. Well, actually, I do. We're going to talk about something that I think we kind of see eye to eye and have a problem with. And as I've been telling the listeners, the militarism that was being promoted by the recently crowned Miss USA, Deshaunna Barber, who is in the military. But first, I just want to give the listeners a little background on you. You are the founder and owner of On the Battlefield blog, and people, you can follow her blog at the website onthebattlefield.com. She is also the founder, CEO, and owner at Black Book Love. Do you have a website for that one? I know there's a Facebook page. Do you have a website for that?
Black Book Love is actually, it's going to be a social media site that I'm working on right now.
Okay.
It's going to be a membership site, and so I'm trying to get everything ready before I open it up to the public, because I want it to be, I'm kind of a perfectionist, so I want it to be like 100% before I open it up to the public.
Understood. And you also study Africana Studies at Tennessee State University. What does Africana Studies entail?
Africana Studies is interdisciplinary. We basically study everything in regards to African life, pre-slavery, chattel slavery, all the way up to now, modern times. And it's basically, we study sociology, history, psychology. It's really kind of a smorgasbord of just Black studies, really. Because we study, you know, the African diaspora as well as life on the continent.
Right. Okay. Thank you for informing me about that. Now, you made a post on social media, and I saw the post, and I was like, man, I feel the same way. There's a problem, you know. I am former military. I spent 6 years as active duty in the United States Army as a communication specialist, a veteran of the Gulf War, the first one. And so, you know, my views have changed a whole lot since I got out after the Clintons, the first time was holding office. That's when I got out. And so my views have changed a whole lot. So I'm going to cut her some slack on the fact that she's only 26 years old. Okay.
Right.
She's only 26 years old. She probably went in when she was 18. She's an officer. She probably actually, you know, started in ROTC. I don't know what her background is and what have you. So, you know, she got on the path, just like many of us have gotten on the path to be part of the United States war machine. So I'm cutting her some slack on that fact that she's so young, and at that age, all of my social political views had not fully developed at that time. But reading Malcolm X's biography, you know, really helped me, you know, see the problem with me serving in the United States military. So I just wanted to say that this is not a personal attack on her, but she is a celebrity figure now. There's lots being written about her, and her words are being used as propaganda to possibly recruit more Black of our Black daughters who we don't want in there. And so let's start, Ms. Horton. I'm going to read her comments, an excerpt of her comments. I think I should pull up and read the question. Okay, this is the question that she was posed. And a lot of people feel like this is what won her the contest. The Pentagon recently made the decision to open up all combat jobs to women, Judge and Stylist Joe Z said. Now, some have questioned whether this has put political correctness over our military's ability to perform at the highest level. What are your thoughts? This is her response. She said, as a woman in the United States Army, I think it was an amazing job by our government to allow women to integrate to every branch of the military. We are just as tough as men, she said to lots of cheers from the crowd. As a commander of my unit, I am powerful. I am dedicated. I mean, it's like she, I'm thinking, I am woman. I was waiting on her to say that. You know what I'm saying? And okay, and she wraps it up by saying, and it is important that we recognize that gender does not limit us in the United States Army. Now, as I stated, I got plenty of thoughts on that, but I brought you on, Ms. Horton, to hear your thoughts first and foremost. What are your thoughts on this?
I definitely think that it is a form of propaganda, because we all know the United States military is the number one militaristic force on the globe, in the world. They have over 100 bases, 100 plus bases all around the globe, in every country imaginable. They even have them now on the African continent with AFRICOM, which was recently instituted, I think between 4 to 6 years ago with the Obama administration. I think that a lot of times we think that things happen accidentally. And I'm not of that view. I'm more so leaning towards don't call me a conspiracy theorist now, but I'm more so leaning towards the conspiratorial view of history, where a lot of times things that we see, and that we might think, well, you know, it might not have happened, you know, exactly this way or that way. I think it's a lot of times there's an agenda behind it. There's a strategy and someone actually thought of this. Now, I get some background on her, and like you said, it's not a personal attack on her per se, but as you stated, she is now a public figure, and with her winning recently, you know, one of the few Black Miss USAs, you know, anything that can be dug up about her should be, because like you said, she's a celebrity at this point.
Right, we're journalists. You're a blogger. That's a citizen journalist. We're journalists.
That's what I do. I research things when it comes out into the open. And her family itself is a military family. Her father is a high-ranking, I think he's a colonel, I believe, in the Army. Her mom married into a military family, and all of her other two siblings are in the military, and all of them, I think she has two older siblings that are also in the military. So I think that a lot of times in the Black and brown community, we're used as vessels for the front line of the American imperial system. And, you know, because our community lacks the resources, you know, of course, the housing, the financial resources, food deserts, and
education.
Different things like that.
Yeah, education, because exactly. That's why I went in. Did not want to go into debt. They had that GI Bill look okay. I can go in. You know, I was a high school dropout, actually. I dropped out in the 11th grade, even though I, you know, had all A's and B's, but it was some other issues going on caused me to drop out. And so a year later, I joined the military, got my GED. Got the GI Bill, and that's the only reason I went in there, was to continue my education.
Exactly, because at that time, and even now, they tell you if you serve in our military, we will pay for your schooling. Of course, you get benefits for the rest of your life. You know, all of those different things. If you have medical issues, we'll take care of it. And so when you have an impoverished community, you know, Black and brown community, a lot of our kids who are growing up in adverse situations, they're going to see this and they're going to gravitate to it. Now, I think the difference between them and her is that she grew up in an upper middle class Black family.
A military family, yeah, like you described. She was that plot. Her life path was probably already set when she was in the womb.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, the fact that she's Black, that she's beautiful, and as you just stated, it was recently instituted where the United States military wants to recruit women. What's the first community that they're going to go to? The Black community. Because we have so many, and I want to say, children because they're children. When they start recruiting you in ROTC, JROTC, all those different things in high school, they come to all of our high schools. I was once in high school, of course, and we would have them there almost every week. There was an Army recruiter there. You know, they would have their table set up at the front. And so my thing is that, you know, if you want to recruit a community, you put out a feel-good story to bring those kids in, because now that propaganda is in their mind where, oh, this beautiful black woman just won Miss USA, and, ooh, she's in the military. And, you know, well, let me go research the military. Well, they'll pay for my schooling. And, you know, I'll have benefits when I get out, if you get out. You know, we got to put that asterisk there. You know, if I come back from combat, you know, I'll have all these benefits and X, Y, and Z. So I think that a lot of times there's an agenda behind, like you said, you know, she was probably pushed into this life from the womb. And the fact that she came from an upper middle class background enabled her to be the perfect poster child for the American military's propaganda.
Do you think, like, I've been reading some articles, and some of the writers have been saying that her answer is basically what clinched the crown for her?
I agree. We are in a country where patriotism is huge. Okay, it is huge. Even
nationalism is really nationalism is
right.
You know, patriotism
right.
is nationalism, and as H. Rapp Brown would say, in this case, is white nationalism.
That's right, and I think that kind of the black community suffers from a kind of Stockholm syndrome. Whereas, you know, we are in this adverse situation, but we sympathize with our oppressors. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the times we will put aside what we're going through in our own home or in our own community, and we will do what we're told to do by the larger society. And I think that that's the problem when you know, I was a little disappointed because, you know, the quote-unquote conscious community, to see so many of them reposting her speech. And
really?
It's only because on face value, you know, she's a black woman, but you have to listen to her words, and you have to look at her background. And for me, it was just disappointing to see so many people just latch on to a feel-good, a feel-good story.
Symbolism.
That's filled with nothing but propaganda. And it's like you're pushing this into our children's mind, and now that they've opened it up to where women are able to be in combat, the first people they're going to go after are our daughters, and that's without a doubt. If you look back in history, Vietnam, the Gulf War, even people don't even realize this, but the Civil War was won because Abraham Lincoln allowed slaves to serve in the Northern military.
The American Revolutionary War as well.
Exactly. And so my thing is that we've always turned the tide for the system, which has been unfortunate, but it's also right now, we're going to be the next front line for them, black women. And you see it all the time. Every time I see a woman in combat uniform for the United States military on TV, it's a black woman. I hardly ever see a Latino woman, an Asian woman, a white woman. It's always black women. It really hurts me and disappoints me to see so many of our people not understand the implications of this.
You know, Dave of Tando Radio Show, he's off the rest of this week. He usually comes on at 6 o'clock, but this is an issue that he raised on a couple of programs and talking about drafting our daughters. They was like, you know, you kill the womb, you kill the people. That if we don't have any black women, then we can't produce black children, and there's no black family. But you know, you mentioned, well, you know, there are conspiracies, and there's nothing wrong with theorizing about the plots of the enemy. All right. So let me say this. Let me lay some facts out there, though. the reason that white people, for the first time in since they've been keeping records on life expectancy and birth and death rates and stuff, for the first time in their history recently here in the United States, their death rates outnumber their birth rates. I did some research on a theory that I had that, well, what do I subscribe this to? What do I subscribe this to? Okay, is white people just killing each other up? Like, you know, the media portrays it all being black people killing each other. You know, well, we know that people commit crimes. Could that be it? I was like, let me look at some other stuff. Could it be the fact that white men make up the bulk of the United States military combat troops? Could that be it right there? And all of these wars, that's, I mean, just perpetual war since Vietnam. That's perpetual war. And it's killing them off. Killing them off. So they need replacements in the future. Right. They see that the country is turning what? Less non-white, right?
That's right.
So now they setting up black women, all women, because they know that if they're going to sustain these never-ending wars, that they got to have the combat troops to do it, the boots on the ground, and not so much the support forces. So this is why I am so very, very, very concerned about this, because, look, people say, talk about this being a volunteer army and whatnot. Well, there's the poverty draft. But also, males, once they turn 18, are by law required to register for the draft. And so if they're going to allow females in the combat roles, what's next? Then they will be required to register for the draft. If you're registering for the draft, that means at any time you can bring it back. Don't think it won't happen.
And, you know, also, I think it plays into the abolitionist movement, the prison industrial complex, because I tell people all the time, we're in the information age. The 21st century is the century of the knowledge doubling curve. It's the century of technology and science being forefront, and not manufacturing and industry. So when you have 45 million black bodies that are no longer, because let's keep in mind, black people were the foremost workers in the manufacturing and industrial movement in the United States. And now that you don't need those 45 million people, you have to do what? You either have to kill them, you have to put them in prison, or you have to allow them to serve in your military and basically be done away with anyway on the front lines, because most of our people don't serve in the higher ranks of the military. They serve on the front line. And so I think that a lot of times, you know, we also don't look into the future, as you just stated, because if they no longer need 45 million black bodies, they have to do something with us. And, you know, those three options we see with the police brutality and, you know, the other incidents that are going on around the country, where we saw that young man that was just ran down the beach by a group of white youth and he had an asthma attack and died. Those things are very commonplace. You have the prison industrial complex, which you are very familiar with, and I thank you guys for always putting that information out there, because I follow you guys religiously on social media, and also, you know, the military. So you have those three options, because what else are they going to do with our community but allow us to serve in the military, but, you know, kill us or put us in prison? They have no more use for us as a human resource. And I think that, you know, until we begin to really understand that and see what the future holds, we'll always be running on this hamster wheel with these people, and, you know, with this Stockholm syndrome, and being loyal and sympathetic to their causes and not our own community.
Right, right. And not even the African diaspora, because the United States military, you mentioned they in Africa. Well, who you think they killing in Africa?
That's right. That is right. That is right. Boko Haram is a CIA supported terrorist organization. Yeah, follow the money.
Follow the money. But let me also say this, though, you know, about why I'm bothered by her becoming, you know, Miss USA and taking this militaristic stance and all the things that we just talked about. But also with her comment. Now, I don't mean to sound condescending or crass or anything like that, but I just got to keep it real. Now, let's break down her comments. She said, as a woman in the United States Army, I think it was an amazing job by our government to allow women to integrate to every branch of the military. We are just as tough as men. So, you know, that's a lie. That's a straight up lie. And I'm just want to acknowledge the truth of the difference in our biology. We are made up differently. And this is the question. If women are just as strong as men, then why are so many women being raped by men in the United States military?
I don't think that's condescending at all. I think that, as you stated, that's biology. I know myself, but, you know, I'm 4'11". You know, I can lift weights all day, but there's no way that I would be able to go up against a man, even a man that was 5 feet, if he was using all of his strength. And so I think that, you know, anytime you bring up with the whole feminist ideology and different things like that, a lot of women say, okay, well, I'm equal with men. I can do whatever a man can do. Well, in regards to, I believe, mental faculties, yes. But when it comes to strength and when it comes to, you know, perseverance in regards to, let's say, me running or working out, we don't have the same biology. We don't have the same body faculties to do what men do. And so to try to put that out there and make it seem as though we do, I think it's disingenuous on her part. Also, once again, she comes from a military family. She has probably been doing these drills and things her whole life. You know, it's nothing new for her. So when you have women that have never done that before and go into it thinking it's going to be so easy, and it's not, because women aren't made up the same way as men, you know. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with saying that a man's strength is way more than a woman's strength. There's nothing wrong with saying that. I'm 4'11". I would not be able to wrestle you on any day of the week, Scotty. I'm sorry.
But I mean, it's also on full display that they are not, because the high levels of rape, men are even being raped by other men in the military.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And so why I'm not, you know, I don't judge people for going into the military, because I went into the military. It was only after I went into the military that I come to my senses, after I acquired more information. Like I said, Malcolm X biography was key, which I was reading while I was in the Gulf War. And so, but, you know, even when I was in the military, and it's way worse now, you had problem with sexual assaults on females and things of that nature. And it's long been documented how they cover it up. So I would forgive her, you know, because, again, she only 26. She come from a military family. Her course was set when she came out the womb to follow in everybody's footsteps and whatnot. But if she wanted to get an applause from me, you know, and I can understand not bringing this up at the pageant, because it's controversial, but now that she's won it, she should be a champion on raising the issue of military rape.
That is right. You know, I believe I was reading a story, an article about a young lady, and this hurt my heart. She, I believe, they found her in her barracks overseas, and she had been shot in the head, and they ruled it as a suicide.
You're talking about Lavina Johnson. Her family, her father, has been a guest on this program a couple of years ago. It's been a while. From Missouri, Dr. John Johnson is his name. He served in the military. I think he did 20 years in it. His daughter followed him into it. She was raped by a military contractor. All right, yeah. It's either a military she was in a contractor's tent. They believe it was an officer who raped her. They raped her. They poured caustic, like acidic material into her womb, you know, I guess to try to cover up any kind of evidence or whatnot. The way that she was allegedly was supposed to have shot herself with the M16 would be impossible for somebody of her stature. And whatnot. She wasn't there. She's a small woman. Also, they set her on fire as well, set the whole tent on fire to cover it up. And all they came up with was this was a suicide. So I guess she, you know, set the tent on fire, ran in there, shot herself. Oh, no, first, before she shot herself, she poured this caustic material in her womb and then shot herself. That's the story you're talking about, Lavina Johnson?
Yes, that's the story I'm talking about. And I think that it's her obligation to tell those stories. It's also her obligation to make sure that women understand what they're getting into. Because let's be real, a lot of our children, our women, aren't going to, you know, they might not listen to us. You know, they might not listen to other people. But they at least need to know what they're getting into when they do sign up for the military.
The truth. You're talking about the truth. All the dirty laundry, everything.
Everything. And I think that it's her responsibility because now it's on her shoulders because she has been made the celebrity non grata for this particular movement, women in the military. And so I think that not only exposing the rape, but exposing what goes on in the school, exposing how hard it is for women to move up within the military because it's not easy. Now she, of course, like we said, she's from a military family, and so, but it's not easy. A lot of those men will turn on you when you begin to advance in the ranks, you know, when you begin to go up. And I think she needs to expose all of those things. I think she needs to have a panel. I think she needs to be in town hall. I think she needs, if you're going to be the celebrity for this particular issue, you need to speak on it and speak on it truthfully. Because a lot of our girls are going to sign up for the military, and they need to know the truth.
You're right. Because of her. Make sure you say that. They will join because of her.
They will. They will. They are. They are. And it's sad because it's sad because it's such propaganda. You can tell it's propaganda. I mean, her speech seemed like it was just written for her. Like she had memorized it, you know, before she even stepped on the stage. But the problem is that a lot of people don't understand propaganda. Our brilliant Dr. Amos Wilson, you know, a lot of people don't understand propaganda. And so they're going to continue to sign up for the military. But if they do, they need to hear the truth. And she needs to be the one to tell them because they're signing up, as you say, because of her.
Well, I think that's a good note to end on. Did you have any final thoughts? And please tell people again how they can find you online and keep up with your work and what have you. But you got any final thoughts on this as we get ready to wrap up the program?
I just want to say I hope people are vigilant. Please research everyone's background. Think outside of the box and think for yourself. I thank you, Scotty, for allowing me on the program. I really enjoy myself. And you guys can follow me on social media at beautiful_angail, which is ANJAIL, and at www.onthebattlefield.com. And my membership website for Black Book Lovers is coming soon, Black Book Love. And so once I open it up for membership, I hope everybody joins.
All right. Certainly let us know when it's open. You have a great day, my sister.
You too. Thank you so much, Scotty. Ashe.
Ashe. All uh-huh. right, folks. That concludes today's broadcast of Black Talk Radio News. Hope that you learned something today. Want to thank our first guest for joining us, Kwame Scruggs, Dr. Kwame Scruggs. He told me quit calling him Dr. Doe. Brother seemed, you know, keeping it real, real grassroots, you know, down to earth brother, doing great things up there in Akron, Ohio with Alchemy Inc. Want to thank Miss Horton, Jamila Horton, who just left us, black entrepreneur and blogger, who raised a very important issue with the new Miss USA. What's her name? Miss Deshauna Barber, you know, being used as a tool of the enemy to bring our girls. They already getting our boys. Well, they getting our girls and our boys. But now to, you know, propagandize of putting our daughters on the battlefield, on the combat, in combat. And again, it's because they running out of white people. All these white boys, and it's not just them, but all these white boys coming back damaged, and they ain't helping them. I'm a veteran, and what, how, you know, I see what's going on. You know, I did research, show 750,000 veterans are in prison over nonviolent drug crimes, self-medicating and whatnot. So yeah, the whole truth needs to be told about what America is about as it comes to its members of active duty military and how they mistreat the veterans. So anyway, just again want to thank you all for listening. All right, I will be back on air Monday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, working on getting some guests lined up, but whether we have a guest or not, definitely we'll have information to share. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Black Talk Radio Network. Follow us on Twitter at Black Talk Radio. Of course, go to our website home, blacktalkradionetwork.com. You can sign up for an email subscription, and that way you will know whenever a program has been scheduled. We got a lot of good programs on the network, and we're working on bringing you some more, but that's how you get, you know, stay up to date on the different programs, not just on Black Talk Radio, but some of the other independent black radio stations found on the platform. Listen, make sure you recognize the fact that we are in a war, and it's a battlefield right out here. Our black girls and women and men are being shot down by these killer cops. It's a battlefield out there, man. And I'm just saying, I'm not judging, but before you send your children off, or if you a young person, before you make that decision to join the United States military to go oppress other non-white people around the world, just remember the example set by Muhammad Ali. Don't follow my example. I didn't know no better at the time. I didn't, you know, so that's why I don't judge other people. But I would follow the example of Muhammad Ali when he said, the Viet Cong ain't never called me nigger, you know. Ain't nobody else in these other countries putting you into slavery by the millions. All right, you're not getting jailed and fined by any of these other nations. You're not getting shot down in the streets by these. Your water's not being poisoned by people in Africa or the Middle East or Southwest Asia or anywhere else on the planet. No, this is stuff that's going on right here. They're not destroying your schools or anything like that. They're not denying you your human rights to health care, universal health care, and free education and all that. Even after many of our ancestors, you know, again, as Ms. Horton pointed out and as I pointed out many times, this country wouldn't even exist without the black soldiers who saved the day. Man, that's just crazy when you think about it, and we're still being oppressed to this day. So just remember these things when you're contemplating on whether or not you join the U.S. military. All right. Peace and blessings to all y'all. Be safe out there over this weekend.